Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Wild Yoga Tribe podcast. I'm your host, Lily Allen Duenas. Together, we'll talk about the world of yoga and we'll talk to people from around the world. Before diving into the episode, I wanted to invite you to head on over to my Patreon account. I would love your support and I'm thrilled to have this beautiful community space where we can do yoga together, meditate together, and you'll get access to exclusive content. Get ready for some private Zoom Q&As, free printable art, meditation recordings, and more. Follow the link in the show notes to get started or head on over to any of my social media channels or my website, wildyogatribe.com, to hang out, get to know each other better, and find out more about all the support and resources available to you. Ready to dive in? Let's get started. Namaste and welcome to the Wild Yoga Tribe podcast. Today, I'm so excited to be joined by Majid Al-Mandari. He's a yoga teacher from Oman, and he also has his 200 hours yoga therapy certification. Majid has been practicing yoga on and off for 30 years, and he teaches meditation, pranayama, and vinyasa yoga. He's been formally teaching yoga after his certification for the last 4 years. However, he was teaching yoga pre-certification for the last 10. So I'm really just so delighted to welcome Majid to the show today. Thank you so much for being here.
Hi, good evening. Thank you very much, Lily. I'm really glad I'm around.
Thank you so much. And so to start, can we hear more about your story and how yoga first came into your life?
It's interesting. It's quite a long journey. I used to work for an airline, an international airline, and I was based in Pakistan. And you won't believe it, I was staying in this hotel. I still remember it was the Sheraton Hotel. And they advertised a yoga class one of the evenings, and I joined. But before I joined the class, I knew about yoga. I had read about it a lot, and it really interested me. And I attended the class, and I got hooked from the first class. And that's how my journey started. From then on, I started practicing from the first class. We started from the first sessions. They will tell you, I will be sitting in the office, and then at lunch break, I will find a corner and do some meditation and things like that. Then I came back to Oman, and one day my accountant came into the office and said, look, are you interested in yoga? And I said, yes, I'm interested in yoga. And he said, all right, there's a teacher who will come to his house and 3 times a week he will teach us yoga. So come and join. And I said, fantastic, that's what I would like to do. And that's how the yoga practices, the yoga sessions, the yoga lessons started. Continued with that for quite some time. Again, got hooked, practiced it every day. And when the teacher was not around, continued to practice. I called my brother and I said, hey, come and join. And he also got into it. So we all practice yoga together.
Oh, that's amazing. I love that it was just your accountant walking into the office saying, do you want to do yoga? that's so fun that a colleague was able to bring that into your life. And also, so amazing that you first went to a yoga class, a yoga asana class in a Sheraton hotel in Pakistan. That's that also right. Seems very random.
It is. In Karachi, yes, it is. It is. It's quite interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. And so since you got hooked and it sounds like you were starting to practice with the teacher and then without the teacher, what led you to really want to become a yoga teacher yourself?
I've always been mesmerized by the teachers, looking at them and says, how much do they know? How can they remember all these asanas? How can they remember movements? How can they remember what to say and what to do? How to do a flow for an hour and you come out feeling really great after doing that session? So that was always in my mind. But at that time, there was very few yoga studios in Oman, hardly any. And 5 years back, I saw an advert in the social media about teacher training. And that was the first time I saw that. And I said, okay, let me just check it out. So I called the people and they said he was about to start. The timings was a little bit challenging for me because it was mainly on the weekends. And normally weekends, I don't like to lose my weekend being busy, especially during winter time. The summers are here very hot. I'm sure you know about that. It's around 45 degrees centigrade. I don't know how much Fahrenheit is that. But the winters are beautiful. It's very mild. The temperatures are very low. And that's the time where you do a lot of outdoor activities, mainly camping, trekking into the mountains, or trekking into dry riverbeds or riverbeds with water and swimming. So it was a bit of a challenge when they told me that it would be around almost for 4 months continuously, and it will be the weekends. So I had to think about that. But after two or three days, I just called them up. I said, look, I've been waiting for this work for quite some time. I'm joining in. So this is how I started the yoga teacher training.
Oh, amazing. And was that teacher training in Oman?
It was in Oman, yes. Yes, it was locally, yes.
Yes. And so it was 4 months and on the weekends. Were all of your fellow yoga students in that training, were they all local as well? Or did you have people join from around the world?
There was an Omani lady with me, yes, with us on that course. And what was interesting, when I was talking to the guys, and I said, look, I want to join. And I said, Majid, the old ladies, first of all, let me ask them if they are comfortable for a man to join them. This is what the yoga master was told me. So she had to go and ask them. So there's a man who wants to join the class. Are you ready? And they said, okay. So I joined them. Two of them were from outside Oman, but the rest of them were from Oman. One was from Hong Kong and one was from India.
Amazing. And have you kept in touch with those fellow yoga students? Are you guys all teaching in Oman as well? Or
most of us are from the group. Some of them have left Oman. But we still have our WhatsApp group. One of the students is actually, we teach together on the beach twice a week, every week.
Oh, that's beautiful. I mean, teaching yoga in nature is so gorgeous and such a powerful element to the practice.
Okay, the other thing I just want to add on about the beauty about the teaching of outside, as you mentioned, especially when we have very hot weather during summertime, but we still don't stop. We advertise it as hot yoga. And we tell people, you don't want to sweat it out, come and join us early morning. Sometimes it is hot and humid. And you really sweat it out. You don't need a sauna or to do hot yoga. You can do it in the open and still get the effect on it.
So, Majid, I would love to hear also about the cultural and religious and social implications of what yoga can mean in Oman. And has the community challenged it or been supported by it? I'd love to hear more about how your country has handled yoga throughout the years as well, and not just today. I'm all ears.
I think throughout the years it has been more simpler in yoga, I think, in the sense that not many people knew about it. When you practice it, even in the open on the beach, it was like, what is he doing? But with the advance of social media, so it's yoga is in the limelight. And culturally, it's fine, but it's acceptable. But when you have got a mixed class in an open area, then you have a little bit of, especially if local women want to practice it, so it's like they wouldn't do it so much in the public. Religiously also, it's like really being challenged at the moment, except just as of recent, in the sense that yoga is a religious procession or procedure, if you want to call it. Like, it's mainly Hinduism, and it's about praying in Hindu. So it's been taken a little bit of in that kind of a sense. But at the same time, I've my colleague, whose father is a devout Christian, is also interestingly, they have got the same kind of feeling. So you have that, and every time I have to stand up and explain, and I say, look, take the best example of me. This is what I do. I practice my religion, and at the same time, I do yoga. What I try and do is not repeat the chantings. If those are prayer chantings, then I don't repeat those chantings. I do my own chantings while I practice yoga.
So it sounds like they're right now, in this year, it's been challenged more so because yoga has been in the limelight. Yoga has become more and more popular, and because of the popularity, is it also politically being challenged by the...
No, politically, the government is very good. Anybody wants to open a yoga studio, people get all the approvals to do that.
Okay, it would be more with the religious leaders having concern that it would be infringing or affecting their followers' religious beliefs.
Yeah, yes.
And so for you to kind of help people feel more comfortable, it's just eliminating the mantras, the chanting, the om. By eliminating that, there's more comfort, you'd say?
Yes. I do that myself. When I practice, I do that myself. So, for example, I go sometimes, I attend some sessions, early morning sessions, when there's... these the chanting. So when I'm attending myself, instead of, for example, saying the chanting, I will say Allah. I just change the terminologies, that's all.
Okay. And then when you mentioned about a mixed class practicing out in public, maybe on the beach or in a garden space, a park, whenever there's females and males together in the same class, that kind of draws negative attention from anyone walking by? Is that?
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. For the people walking by, it doesn't feel anything. But there is, for the local women, there's a little bit of conservatism in them, in the sense of joining open classes on the outside. But we've been doing, my colleague, she's English, she lives here, and we've been teaching mixed classes for the last 2 years, and there's no issue on it at all.
Great. Okay, good. I'm happy to hear that there's no issue normally, but I'm glad that you brought that up as something that just to be mindful of or aware of, that there is this potential discomfort of women wanting to join publicly in a mixed class, because the physical shapes of yoga, I know, can feel very vulnerable. Some of them can feel very,
yes,
like you're could be exposing a shape of your body in a certain way. And so I understand that. I think I do.
Yeah. Let me explain it more clearly. For the expats women, now, if we've got people joining in, but for the Omani women, as I said, culturally, they're a little bit reluctant to join. As you said, you've got to dress up to that kind of thing. But what I advise people is that you could see the costumes in yoga. Some of them are two pieces. But I just tell people, just dress up conservatively and come and join us.
Got it. And so whenever you're practicing yoga, or most of your clients or students, do you feel like they fall into a certain age range or age bracket, or is it all very diverse?
It's diverse at the moment. It's diverse. I think around the world it's been practiced by women more than men. Correct me if I'm wrong on that, Lily.
I think you're right. You got it.
And it's the same here. So it's been always a challenge to attract so many men to join in. And even when I go to attend some of the studios, the majority will be women, and there'll be only one or two men attending. And this is what I'm trying to do, is to get more Omani men to come into yoga.
Let's take a quick break to hear from one of my friends and a fellow podcaster.
Hello, everyone. My name is Amanda Kingsmith, and I am the host of Mastering the Business of Yoga, which is a podcast that was designed for yoga teachers who want to create a successful career in yoga but don't know where to start or what to do. Each episode is hosted by yours truly and features different successful and inspiring yoga teachers who share their experiences in the yoga world and the business lessons that they've learned throughout their careers, in hopes that you'll come away with ideas and inspiration for creating your own successful and thriving yoga business. You can find Mastering the Business of Yoga on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast app. I'd love to see you there.
And in Oman itself, is there a lot of yoga studios now? And is it also just in densely populated areas or big cities? Or is there kind of yoga retreat centers maybe on smaller villages? Or what's the yoga scene like?
Of course, this is all over the world. COVID affected a lot of progress in studios, and some studios closed and some studios could not manage. But that it's coming back. I see there's a lot of studios coming back into being opened up again in Oman, or the expansion of some of the studios having more branches. And of course, it's mainly in the capital, Muscat, you'll have that movement. So that's yoga is progressing in Muscat. Outside Muscat, you'll find it is happening in the hotels. So the hotels will have teachers doing some sessions. You will not find studios in there. And then also, interestingly, we have got a lot of very huge Indian population in the Gulf, the whole of the Gulf, and also and Oman is among them, where there will be, some of them are yoga teachers who don't live in the capital, but they will be practicing or teaching yoga in their houses. As of recent, after the COVID, I'm happy that yoga is growing up. And additionally to that, there are also yoga teacher training is being advertised. In the beginning, it was one studio. 3 years ago, it was only one studio. Now, I think there are almost three studios advertising on yoga teacher training courses.
Okay, so there's more people, you think, being trained in yoga as well?
Yes.
Wonderful. That is wonderful. And so at this point, too, I would love to ask just a little bit more about your country. I know some of our listeners maybe don't know much about Oman and would love to hear from you what you love about your country, or I mean, maybe even where it is on a map. I think it would be helpful for our listeners to hear more from you.
All right. I've been traveling a lot throughout my life, and it's always been a challenge. You know, whenever I travel, I explain to people when they ask me, where are you from? And I say, I'm from Oman. Oh, where is Oman? I have to always explain. We are in the Gulf, but we're in the southern Gulf. So on our north side, we are bordering UAE. And if people don't know where UAE is, United Arab Emirates, or if somebody doesn't know where United Emirates is, it's Dubai. So we are bordering Dubai from the northern side. On the southern side, we border Yemen. And on the west side, we border Saudi Arabia. And on the east side is the complete open seas, is the Arabian Sea. And Oman is a beautiful, diversified country. If I can explain to the Americans, probably in this way, so I used to work in an oil company with international employees from everywhere. Shell International owns 32% of this company. And you'll have people coming in from abroad to work with us. I had my American colleague, he's never been to the Gulf before. And when he applied to a job to join the company, I think his father told him, don't go there. That's a dangerous place to go. He said he made his mind to come and join. And he came, he's been here now more than 4 years, and he doesn't want to go back. So most of the expatriates who come into Oman don't want to go back because of the way of life. It's pretty laid back. You've got the south, which is completely green, sometimes during the fall or some part of the year. And you've got the north, which during summertime, it's very hot. It goes up to 45 degrees, as I said. Diversified, very diversified. People are nice. I'm not saying that people are nice because I'm Omani, but this is what the feedback you always get. Why do you want to stay in Oman? I was talking to a friend the other day, and he set up his company over here, but he's got more business in Saudi Arabia and UAE than in Oman. And I said, why did you choose Oman? Why didn't you settle there? Because you've got more business on that side. But he said, for the family, he feels much better. Does that explain? Is that good enough?
Yeah, it's wonderful. I'm also curious what it's like to live in Oman. Anything, the inside look to it?
It's generally conservative, but it's okay. Everybody drives. Women have been driving in Oman for the last 50 years, so it's nothing unusual. We don't have street bars, but you could go into a hotel and have alcohol if you want to. There's plenty of restaurants. There's plenty of international restaurants. So in that sense, on the entertainment side, the nightlife is not as fantastic as Europe or Asia or Americas. But still, it is there. If that's what you look for, that's there. We've got an opera house. I'm going to see Domingo on this Thursday to see an opera. And they're bringing international opera singers to this place. And those are the good, the interesting entertainment. We've got plenty of malls for shopping. But the outdoor is the most attractive thing, man, is the outdoors during the after the summer months.
Amazing. It sounds very modern and full of life and things to do. And it sounds like there's a lot of nature-based things to do as well, when you have so much gorgeous ocean in front of you too.
We've got around 320 miles of coastline. So you can imagine about the fishing ground is fantastic, and fishing sea activities is quite good.
And so at this point too, Majida, I'd love to talk to you more about your yoga practice and what your sadhana looks like, or what type of meditation you practice. What can you share with us?
Okay, I'll start with the meditation. I start my morning very early. I wake up around about 4 o'clock in the morning, where as our part of the world, as Muslims, we've got this very early morning prayers. It changes with the seasons, the prayer times. And after that, I would mostly go to the beach and sit. I'll try and send you a picture on that. Sit on the coconut tree, and you'll be surprised, we have coconut trees in this part of the world, and just meditate. I start when it is dark, and then until the sun comes out, listen to the sound of the waves while meditating. And again, I would like to touch on that, on my meditation. My yogi guru who taught me yoga, told me many years back that, look, Majid, with meditation, you can cure any disease. You can cure yourself of any disease through meditation. And I thought that was very interesting, very powerful statement. And I said, okay, so how can I put that into my own perspective, using my own religion to improve that or to use that. And in Islam, we've got 99 names of God. So what I do is I sit down before sunrise and I recite while meditating in my heart each name for 99 times, whatever the names I can remember. And I do that for 40 minutes, and that really grounds you down and you come out feeling fantastic. And this is what I teach to some of the people who join me in the meditation. I take what I've been taught about meditation and I just improvise it into my own secular way.
Oh, amazing. That does sound like a very powerful personal practice to sit down before sunrise and chant the 99 names of God. Do you do it internally or do you say it out loud?
No, internally.
Internally.
And I remember a couple of times friends will pass by and film me. I'll take a video of me or take a picture of me. I will not be aware of the existence. It's just I'm in my own world.
Meditation does have that amazing ability to just draw us into our own world, our own inner world, the inner landscape. It means we tune out everything else and just are able to listen to our own heartbeat or our own rhythm of breath, what we're chanting. And so I love that you've made it yours. You said too, Majid, that your guru, your teacher says that with meditation, you can cure yourself of any disease. Do you feel like since you've been doing this for a long time, it's brought a new level of health and vitality to you?
Lily, unbelievable. Scientifically, I cannot prove it, but I tell you it has. Definitely has.
What's the difference?
I vouch.
Tell me.
Now, I remember very well when I started, it was like I would get a slight, not a pain, but a slight feeling in my heart, really heaviness in the heart. And I would think, wow, imagine something is wrong with you, or something is wrong with your heart. But I did not stop. I would continue, and I would continue. And that heaviness, little pain or heaviness will go lower. And with time, it will be lowered, and it will lower. And after some time, it just went away. And went away, when it went away, and I can't imagine this energy, certain adrenaline, which just comes out later after the meditation, which comes to the body. So I must have been having something, and that has taken me away. It's gone away. I feel my limbs, I felt my limbs are much better. In so many ways, I've really benefited. And that's one of the things which I'm trying to promote to my fellow man, is to say, look, this is yoga, but we're going to do it, our yoga or our meditation, in this way. And I'm able to attract people to join me, and some of them have benefited from it.
What do you attribute it to? Do you attribute it to the silence, to the mindfulness of breath? Do you contribute it to the energy or the connection with God when you're chanting the 99 names? Do you have something that you, deep in your heart, you feel like, that can be it?
First of all, it's going back to the basics, the basic principle. I was taught how to do meditation. I think that played a big role. The environment played a big role, the open area. We have one of the biggest positive notes of mine is security. You don't have to worry about security sitting in the dark or in the middle of night outside, and you don't have to worry about security at all. You can wear a gold watch and nothing happens. It's one of the biggest things in good things about a man. So you could sit down and do that. So it's these environments, the basics which I was taught about meditation, the environment, and slowly you build up that connection, spiritual connection to God. And then the after effects is just, the whole combination is fantastic.
Amazing. And so is there anything about yoga or meditation or anything that I didn't ask that's something that you'd like to share?
When I sit with my students, and again, either if they are, questions about cultural and religious, and this is what I explain. I tell, this is what I gain from me practicing my yoga. I come out as a different person, again, after practicing my yoga. It's my asanas, it helps you in removing your toxins in the body. It gives you energy. Your breathing becomes better for the whole day. And people with asthma, by the way, I'm a little bit asthmatic, and this is what has helped me in practicing my asanas and breathing and my meditation.
Okay. And a question that I ask every guest on the show is, what is your personal definition of yoga?
Ooh, that's a big question. How do I explain that? As I said, I've been doing yoga for many years and I can't live it. I've been challenged several times, but I cannot live it to the extent that I'm teaching and I'm enjoying teaching it. It has become a personal life for me, yoga. So I just enjoy the vitality, I enjoy the challenges, I enjoy the stretches, I enjoy the energy which I get from yoga after performing the asana. It's part of me. It's part of my life. Yoga for me is life. I breathe yoga and it gives me vitality, it gives me energy, make my day every day.
So, Majid, if anybody wants to get in touch with you and has questions or wants to learn more about you, I'm going to link your Instagram here in the show notes, wherever anyone's listening to the podcast, or you can also find it on wildyogatribe.com/yoga in Oman. Majid, I have had such a delightful time with you today. I'm so grateful that you took the time to be with me, and I want to say just a big thank you once again.
Thank you, Lily. Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure. I'm delighted. I'm glad that you got me into your program. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of the Wild Yoga Tribe podcast. My conversation with Majid Al-Mandari, a yoga teacher from Oman, was so engaging as we took a deeper look into meditation and how you can make it yours. As Majid says, yoga has the power to cure any disease, and this is something that he lives and he breathes. I hope that this conversation made you curious about meditation and the gifts that it can give. If you're looking to tune into a podcast episode that's all about yoga in Oman, then this is the conversation for you. Thank you for listening to the Wild Yoga Tribe podcast. Be well. Thank you for the gift of your attention today. If you feel called, please share this episode with someone who you think could benefit from it. Leaving a review would also be so appreciated. I also hope you can join me online on my website, wildyogatribe.com, or on social media. I would love to get to know you better. I would love to share with you and to hear your thoughts. Send me a DM, send me a note, get in touch. It would be great to hear from you. And as always, be well, dear one. Be well.